All right. Good morning, everyone, again. We're still in chapter 2. Brother David, I was watching Perry Stone one day a few months ago, and he said, I'm going to go out on a limb and share what the Lord said when he was in the hotel room. He said the Lord told him the man, the beast, and the false prophet are alive now. And this was in the fall, I think, when he announced it. And I watched him. And he said he didn't know whether he was a baby or what age, but he said the man. Now, when he was saying what God told him, he said the man, the beast, and the false prophet is alive, and he's on the planet now. So that tells you it's close. It is close. But in November, he said, tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left. And I kind of sat up in the bed when he said that, because I hadn't heard it put that way in years, you know. But people deviate. They go out to, people get in strife, envy. You know, the things that's listed in Galatians chapter 6, and they deviate from the word. And they won't repent. Sometimes they don't repent. And they can be. And the Lord's going to take people that belong to him. That, you know, if the Holy Spirit, we'll get into that later, but if people repent, then, you know, if he convicts us of sin, then, and we repent, then everything's fine. But when he convicts people and they don't change, eventually I think it's dangerous when people stop feeling that conviction. And they can sin without conviction. They can cross the line. And in the new grace teaching, they tell people they don't have to repent. You know, they already saved, everything's, and that's not true. But the time is close. It's at hand, and the Lord's got to return. But I thank God for that. I like the way that you're always looking, you're watching. And that's what he said, do, watch and pray and expect him. When you're in faith, you know, the Lord can bring things to your attention and he can help you navigate in life. And you're looking for his return. But I'm gonna do whatever I'm doing till he returns. He said, occupy till I come back. I love this book. Fuchsia Pickett is a very wise woman. She was talking about emotions. We'll pick up on page 22. This is the second chapter in the book, Presenting the Holy Spirit. And I got a chance to see her minister twice, I believe. And I heard her on some tapes. She used to come and preach at Lynn Lawson's church, the church at Gardendale. And I thank God for them. And I learned a lot from Lynn Lawson. I used to listen to him on the radio. I learned a lot of warfare things that I didn't learn from anybody else, but I learned it from him. Everybody, when you take a subject, people are going to see things that others don't. And he always had he said things that were necessary. And Fuchsia Pickett did too, you know. He's the one that said, he talked about taking back what the enemy stole. And he talked about how somebody broke in his house. They stole his guns and his jewelry and all his electronics, things he had in there. And he commanded Satan to bring it back. And the guy brought it all back. And after hearing that, I had a truck. And I was at a wedding in Mississippi. And I knew by the Holy Spirit somebody was bothering my truck, trying to steal my truck. And I did warfare. I said, Satan, you cannot steal my truck. It had a kill switch on it. But I said, you cannot take that truck. You can't. And I knew that they were there, and I knew it. But I did warfare. I didn't call the police or anything. I just did warfare until I started laughing. And I came back that Monday. I went out there to work, and my toolbox was open, but I forgot about it. I didn't think nothing of it. My toolbox went all the way across, you know. And I noticed that it was up, but I didn't pay it. I went on and started working, and a guy came from down the alley, He said, "Are you missing the toolbox?" I said, "No." And the time I said that, I thought about my toolbox was open on my truck. I said, "Wait a minute, did it have a number 7 on top?" He said, "Yeah." And I went and looked, and it was gone. It wasn't in my toolbox. And I said, "That was my number when I was at the dealership." I said, "They was trying to break in my truck." And it was at the time I knew it by the spirit. And he said, "Well, they left it on my back porch." And then I said, "Well, yeah." And he said, "But you got to go to the police station." And I went down there, and I had to pay pay a notary public to, you know, say it was mine, the legal document, and I got it back. And it was warfare. They were trying to steal from me, and I was stopping it. And they left it on an honest man's back porch. And the police came, and they ran, and they left it on his back porch and kept going. But he could have kept it. And the only thing I missed was an 18-millimeter wrench on a front end fork. But I had my truck, and I fixed my lock, everything. But I learned it from Lynn Lawson, taking back what the enemy stole. And, you know, the Word of God is good. And you can receive concepts from different people. All right. She's dealing with our negative responses. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he has standards. He came to help us and guide us in life, guide us into all truth, and help us avoid the problems of life and conquer them. Now, the churches I went to, they said that the Lord sends problems to help you grow. That never sat well with me in my heart. But when people receive it, they don't fight. That's a doctrine of the devil. The Lord don't send you problems to make you grow. The enemy is trying to stop the Word of God in your life. He's trying to stop your joy, your peace, everything to make you strong, get you out of faith, so that he can make you look like what Jesus did made no difference. And that's what's happening. But the Word of God came to give you wisdom, strength, order, so that you can do his will and live a good life. And if people follow him, they will. If they do his word, then it's gonna automatically start a process of change and healing. We receive salvation in seed form, and it starts a healing process from the inside out. First Peter trains us in love. If we love people like God loves us, that was a new concept in this day. Jesus said, "Love, do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That was a new concept when Jesus taught. Now, we receive the love of Jesus, so Peter said, "Love others like Jesus loves you." And then they're going to challenge you. Love them anyway. They're going to think you are after something. Love them anyway. They're going to think you have ulterior motives. I remember when Gwen taught this years ago. Love them anyway. Do right anyway. And it works. In doing that, you learn things. You see why God said it. People, they start healing from that same love that Jesus shared with you. A healing process starts in it. Even if they don't get saved, they know that you care about them. And when they have a crisis, which they will, they're going to trust the people that love them. Because the Lord told me, he said, if you love people, they will respect you. If you're holy, they'll trust you. And if you're wise, you'll hold their attention. So you're going to be their go-to guy. Same person that they're mad at today, your continual love will heal, will breed healing in them and help them receive God's word. Just like what Ray was saying, we become disciples when we receive the word in our heart. That's why we do what we do. The word gives us the strength. Now, it says, Scripture is full of examples and instructions regarding emotional responses of the Holy Spirit. He responds to sin as God, who cannot tolerate it. He responds to mankind in the long-suffering, entreating way that the love of God uses to seek and save sinners. And he responds to believers' worship and praise in one way, and to his disobedience in another. So the Holy Spirit is going to help us. He relates to us through the Word of God. We receive the Word of God. Now we're able to relate to him. I learned to go in his presence because of mainly because of Greg Holst. Now Greg used to, Bishop Bonner was the bishop of the church we were at. And he loved God. And he wanted to be like Bishop Bonner, but he loved God, and he would go in his presence so that he could learn and grow, and he could sing. He was a natural talent in singing, and he was anointed. And he used to usher the church into the presence of God. And I wanted to know things about the Holy Spirit. I wanted to know things that I didn't know. So there was a lady named Mom Powell, you know, that's what everybody, I forgot her real name, but everybody called her Mom Powell. And she lived in the Woodlawn area. And she told me about conversations she had with the Lord. And I wanted that. I wanted conversations with the Lord, dialogue, not just me praying and getting up and leaving. So I used to go in his presence, but I would never be able to compose myself to ask questions. Because in his presence, I'm just laid out. I feel his presence. But he told me to study the Word. He prescribed 15 chapters a day. And I read 5 in the morning and usually 10 at night. But he said read 5 in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. After about 3 months, I went in his presence. And then I was able to ask my questions. In the presence of the Lord, and even angels, people that have been in his presence, you can't compose yourself. You fall out. But I was full of the Word, and it was just like when Daniel was strengthened by the angel, and he got up. He said, I can talk now. But he kept falling out, just like I would. The Word of God, and doing the Word of God, helps you relate to the Holy Spirit, and you have strength to ask your questions. So I learned some things about the Holy Spirit. I could tell when he was grieved. I could tell when I disappointed him. I could tell when he was happy with me. He would convict me if I sinned, or if I had a wrong thought or didn't forgive somebody. I would feel it. And then I would quickly repent. But I got to a point, I said, well, Lord, I don't want to do that no more. Now, my prayer life is just like conversation, normal conversation. I said, Lord, you got to show me. I don't know what I'm doing. That's how I pray. And then if I do something wrong, I said, why did I do that? What's going on? And he would explain to me things. I learned more about myself by asking him questions about me. And then I learned from there what to do and how to make change. The first one on the list, the negative responses, is greed. She said, first of all, the scriptures teach that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And Paul exhorted the Ephesians. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of the redemption. Walking in agreement with him. You know, Jesus taught, I think it was Amos taught, that how can two walk together except they be in agreement? And you can't be in agreement with the Lord unless you get to know him. But as I get to know him, I agree with what he revealed. And sometimes it's not, it doesn't sound right to say I don't agree with God, but you know whether you agree or not is when if you follow through with what he's saying, if you're doing what the Word say and what the Holy Spirit is guiding you to. And I usually start where I disagree, because I know that's going to cause me problems. And this is why the Holy Spirit is grieved. If you are following the Word of God and you're obeying the Holy Spirit, you're going to learn things you need to know on time, that it's going to bless your life. It'll strengthen your life continually. You, as you receive his wisdom, you'll receive his best plan for your life. And he wants to see you blessed, but you can't get to where he's taking you unless you yield to him and hear him out. Sometimes people get married, they chosen to marry somebody, but the Lord has something, may have something better in mind. Billy Graham was going to get married, but the Lord showed him that the wife that he was, the lady he was going to marry in the at first, would not be able to walk with him, and she wouldn't be able to deal with what God is going to do in his life. And then he caused him to meet Ruth, who was a blessing to him. I'm using that for an example. The Lord knows everything, and he knows you. And if you make a decision and believe God for it, he's going to honor it, even if it's not the best choice. It takes strength to receive his best choice. So if we deviate somewhere, not just sin, but if he give us something and we do something else, that grieves him. Because we're going to, he can tell, he knows what's going to happen if we do his will and if we don't. He can see your potential if you follow his path and if you don't. So he's not just grieved because you sinned against him. Sometimes he's grieved for your sake. If he gives a word, he know this lady's about to commit suicide. And he give you a word, and if you speak it, it's going to help her, and she'll live. But if you hold the word and don't speak it, he can't rescue her. He got to find somebody else, and they may not be with her. People die because people don't yield to the Holy Spirit, and it grieves them. People, it's serious. So I'm seeing all this, and I know that some churches, if they don't yield to the Holy Spirit, things are going to go wrong. And you know how Pastor talks about how people don't want to pray in tongues. They kind of push that out of the door. I was at a church where spiritual gifts were being released. And I had an assignment to tell the pastor to encourage it, let him do it. And he said, no, they'll get in the flesh and do this and that. I had to tell him the rest of it. I said, the Lord told me, if you don't release them, he's going to send them somewhere else. The Lord was putting together a team. And the Lord had given me another word about him. He said, if he follows me, he'll be the first functional church in the city. Now, that was years ago. Now, that was what he told me to tell him. He said, nah, they'll get in the flesh. I said, he gonna send them away. And then a few time happened. A few weeks went by, not long. And I visited a church, and I saw some of his members sitting out there. And another lady went up to join. She said, I want to join, but I'm going to join next week because I'm going to go in. And I'll tell my pastor, I need to leave honorably, then I'm going to come and join. And it happened. That word happened. It didn't take long. And when you don't yield to the Lord, it grieves him because things can't happen if you don't make the right choice, if you don't stay in faith. And the first plan is the best. If he would have followed God, he would have been the best candidate for what God was doing. But he did it his way, and it didn't work. It's not just, and our sins also grieve the Lord. The Paul listed things such as stealing, lying, bitterness, wrath, evil speaking. But also just disagreements with the Lord grieves the Holy Spirit. He can't punish you for it because you don't know it. It's not a sin to you because you don't know what can be. You don't know what you're rejecting. You don't have the revelation for it. But it also takes you out of the category of his best will for your life. And it grieves him. I've seen pastors cry. When the Holy Spirit cried, they can feel it and they sense it and they cry with it. Pastor Jim did it. Pastor Jackson did it. And you can feel what the Lord feels sometimes. The revelation that he'll give has healing properties, and it helps people heal. And I learned, if I said, Lord, I saw others do it, but I said, I don't ever want to grieve you. I don't ever want to be in any form of disagreement where I can't do it, where I stop the process. And I was trying to think of a way to prevent it. So I started paying attention to what he say, planted deep in my heart. But I said, I need a confession. Confessions always work. I started confessing that I will do all that's in his heart, so I won't have any reserve when he want to move. I can yield. So continuing with being grieved, she said, rejection, rebellion, hardness of heart, disobedience, lack of faith, or sinful attitudes of the heart and mind, they grieve the Holy Spirit. And you know sin is going to always grieve it. But it also says the Holy Spirit alone can change our sinful hearts as we yield to him. So yielding is a very powerful thing to do. By continually surrendering to him in obedience, we will live in right relationship with him so that we do not grieve his heart of love through our thoughts, words, or actions and attitudes. And then she went on to talk about being vexed. The scriptures also teach that the Holy Spirit can be vexed. The prophet Isaiah declared, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore, he was turned to be their enemy and fought against them. That's what happened to Baal. Baal, the prophet Baal, vexed the Holy Spirit. He was going to kill him. And eventually, Moses did kill him. He sent his soldiers and they killed Baal. And Baal did something that was terrible. He was a real prophet and he turned and he started... He's taught Balak how to weaken Israel by sending loose women to the men, daughters of Moab, and they slept with them, and it caused a curse to come on Israel. And this thing didn't die. Now they killed them, and it caused problems throughout the generations, and it started Baal worship. And you know the Muslim religion took the void of it. When God finally, Nebuchadnezzar judged it. And so there was no more mention of Baal worship. And then, the Islam took its place. That's the new Baal worship, basically. It's not the same, but it took the void. Kenneth Copeland said it was a spinoff of it. But we vex the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit gives somebody something and we don't receive it or we reject it, all Christians can notice the handiwork of God. Sometimes people get in competition, and I hate saying that because Christians do this. It's a trick of the enemy. They get in competition against other Christians. Now, whatever comes through a vessel, it's to be used. So whoever says something that blesses me, I'm going to honor them. They fought a battle to get that word to me. You know, Lynn Lawson on the radio, he said concepts that I never heard before.